So if you have your handouts with you tonight, you can kind of help follow along and get my timer going, so try to be on time here. But the lesson tonight on chapter 9 is praying intelligently. So the gift of discerning of spirits, we know is a gift of the Holy Spirit, which comes from the Holy Spirit, and He enables us through that gift to be able to distinguish spirits, whether, like we discussed, whether it is a spirit of God, a human spirit, or a demonic spirit. So He helps us to distinguish those things. And He also provides supernaturally the ability to discern even hidden motives and of the heart, both good and bad. So discernment doesn't only just operate and clue us in on bad things or bad situations, but it also informs us of good things and can be a witness to us and be able to discern good and bad. So it's a dual gift that is very powerful, and we'll get a little bit more into that. So the Holy Spirit actually, through this gift of discernment, is providing intel. How many of you like the 007 movies? Remember those? Get the intel on the enemy. So if you kind of think of the gift of discernment as actually providing us intel on the spiritual realm and giving us insight as to what is going on, or hidden motives or agenda in people, or traps and things that the enemy forelays out. And God wants to always, and He is always quick, if we will ask and be attentive to Him, to show us where the enemy is trying to lay a snare to snag us or to trip us up. So God is always willing to show us and to reveal those things in advance and can detour our activity to avoid some of those things. Amen? So that intel is something that we receive. Discernment is knowledge provided not by intellect. It isn't something that I can figure out mentally. It's not something, and we've discussed this, that is attuned mentally. But discernment, it uses our five senses, and we'll get into the scripture that backs that up. So that intel puts us in the know spiritually. We don't have to walk around dumb and blind. And so many times is we're just kind of clueless what's going on or what's around us, and we're just tiptoeing through the tulips like everything's fine, and we're not walking in the Spirit. When we walk in the Spirit and be sensitive to the Holy Spirit, learn to be sensitive to the Holy Spirit, and He can speak to us, give us direction. He can even tell us, don't go down your planned path that you go to work, but you need to take a shortcut. You need to turn here and don't go there. He can divert us to avoid accidents, mishap, mayhem, everything. So He is always looking out for us. He is watching out for us if we will pay attention. So even sometimes that, I thought, well, I'll just kind of take my normal route or do my normal thing. And a thought will pop into my mind, Brother Steve, that, well, why don't you do something different? And sometimes I belabor it and overthink it to death, and other times it's like, what's it going to hurt? Just do it, and do it anyway. So it's learning. We learn as we go and grow in the Lord. So we're not perfect. We're all going. But intelligence means the ability to learn or understand or to deal with new and trying situations. That intelligence, it's giving us information. We can always learn. Amen? So it's a learning gift. It's a growing gift. So that intel from the Holy Spirit, we can grow with that. And this is what prayer is. The ability, and this is also under intelligence, but it really defines to me about prayer, what prayer does. The ability to apply knowledge to manipulate one's environment. Wow. Have you ever thought about that? We need something to change. What do? Yeah. We go to prayer, right? So intelligence gives us the ability to apply knowledge through the Holy Spirit, that intel that He tells us about. I can apply that knowledge in prayer with God's Word to manipulate a situation for a different outcome. Amen? That's all it is. Yeah. Amen. So that information concerning an enemy or possible enemy on areas, God will show us if we'll just slow down and just ask and inquire of the Lord. The Holy Spirit is our spiritual agent. He's our spiritual intel that will provide that information of spiritual warfare or spiritual realm things that are behind motivation, situations, circumstances, plots, ploys, contracts, curses, you name it. He's got the intel and He will provide it to us if we'll just listen and pay attention. He will reveal tactics of the enemy in advance and guiding us to pray to overcome so that we are victorious in the kingdom of God. 1 Corinthians 12 and 10, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another diverse or different kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. And in 2 Corinthians, the 14th chapter, Paul ran into a similar situation. Corinth was a very paganistic culture. And so they were not relaying and understanding how spiritual gifts worked. All they knew was the pagan way. All they knew was the things that through the pagan religions, people being used demonically would be out in a trance, or a demonic spirit would take over them physically to just do anything, everything. And so they were thinking spiritual gifts of the Holy Spirit, the only base of context for their relation was what they knew in their pagan culture, and thinking, oh, the Holy Spirit does the same thing. And Paul was letting them know, no, the Holy Spirit does not work that way. And so in 2 Corinthians 14, 32, he explains that the spirit of prophets are subject to the prophet. And the Holy Spirit does not take over a person's inability to lose restraint. Right?
Yeah. Yes.
We have control of the gifts of the Spirit. Amen?
Right.
So that was what Paul was trying to get across to them. And so one of the gifts, which is one of the gifts of the Holy Spirit, is self-control. And a person can always decide. We can learn to listen. We can learn to obey. We can decide to move in a gift and operate in a gift, or we can refrain from it. We have that choice. The Spirit gift is subject to me, to the prophet. We are in control of that. Holy Spirit just doesn't slay me out in the Spirit and just take over and does what He wants to do. You know what I'm saying? Not in a trance kind of thing where we're just oblivious as to what's going on, like demonic spirits will take over somebody in their body. So the Holy Spirit does not do that. So that isn't anything that we need to be afraid of or be fearful of. So we can always decide when and how to start or stop to express that gift. 1 Corinthians 14, 32, the spirit of prophet is subject to the control of the prophets. Learning to operate in the gift of discernment has to be walked out very carefully. And so in any of the gifts of the Spirit, I think that's applicable to, don't you, Pastor?
Yes.
That we need to walk in those gifts and callings that He places in us. And for His ministry and kingdom, we need to walk them out very carefully and to be obedient to the Lord and under the guidance of the Holy Spirit. We can always ask the Lord to increase a gift. We can ask for an increase of discernment. We can ask for an increase in the gifts of healings or miracles. He says to desire the best gifts, which is prophecy, right? So we can always ask God to increase a gift in us if we desire to. And he wants us to desire to walk deeper in gifts and walk deeper in the Spirit with him. So learning to do that, we need to do carefully. The gift of discernment works in tandem with intercession, alerting us to specific schemes of the enemy as we faithfully watch and pray. It also provides divine ability given by God, allowing one to see past the surface and knowing the spirit and the heart motives behind people and situation. There's that intel. And I'll share here in a little bit an experience that I had last year and how God moved in applying prayer to change a situation. And I will share that here in just a minute. But even in Jesus' final hours, when he went to the Garden of Gethsemane, told his disciples to stay, watch and pray, so I can go pray. And he went and prayed to his Father. He told them to watch and pray for a reason. Right. He knew that the enemy was coming for him. Stay and watch and pray. Right. But they fell asleep, didn't they?
Yep.
The enemy came. And they were succumbed, and they left Jesus all alone. What would the outcome have been had they been alert and had watched and had prayed? Yeah. So it's important that we watch and pray. Even as the church, and I'm just going to throw this out here for good measure. Even the church has been asleep, and we have an enemy knocking on our doors, threatening, pushing, everything to take away our religious rights, our freedoms, not only as Americans, but as Christians, and everything that we stand for. And the church has been asleep, and we're going to be leaving Jesus standing all alone. Right? So it's important that we watch and pray, not just pray and be blind, but we watch and pray. Right. Be the watchman on the wall, on the tower, watching and looking. And that's what the discernment of the Holy Spirit, he is the intel. As we're watching, Holy Spirit, what, where? Over here. And he will give us direction if we'll just pay close attention to him. Sometimes it just kind of feels off the wall and doesn't feel normal to our skin. It's like, well, why would you ask me to pray about that or to do what? That don't make sense. Just do it. Just obey. He has a reason that we don't know what is behind. So we just need to be obedient and do what he tells us to do and to pray however he tells us to pray. An intercessor not only prays for God's kingdom to come, but watches and prays to keep the enemy out and to keep the enemy out of our lives, out of our church, city, governments, etc. 1 Peter 5 and 8 tells us the devil is like a prowling lion seeking whom he may devour. And he will take advantage of every opportunity. But God is looking to reveal. Amen. That's exciting. That's good news. That God is looking to reveal the attacks and the schemes of the enemy in advance for us and to us. That he can only reveal if we are keeping watch and praying.
Yes.
He can't reveal if we're not watching and praying. He will not willfully, if we are willfully being blind and deaf, he will not take off the blinders off our ears for us. Man, so I have to want to see. I have to want to hear. I have to want to know what God is doing. I got to know, God, what are you doing? What are you saying? I want to see what you're doing. And he is faithful to show that. So in order to be effective in that, we need to be able to develop a framework. And the Bible is our framework. What is a framework? It gives us the pattern. It gives us the parameters of understanding to understand how the spirit realm works. And the Bible gives us plenty of examples of things that can and have and do happen in the spirit realm. And some of those experiences that are in the Bible, Paul was caught up into the third heaven, seeing paradise and hearing unexpressible things. Job was in conflict between Satan and God. The war, the battle was between God and Satan, wasn't Job. It just landed in his precious little backyard.
Right.
But the battle was between God and Satan. So that is something that gives us an example of what can happen in the spirit realm. Demonic prince of Persia withheld Daniel's prayer. We discussed, I think, in the first lesson, an army of angels fought for Elisha. Jesus encountered a man possessed with a legion of demons. So there gives us a framework of what that picture looks like and what happened in that spiritual situation. Philip was transported from one place to another. And it still happens today. I've heard testimonies of people being one place and being transported in the spirit somewhere else. It still happens. Those are spiritual parameters. Those gives us some ideas of functions in the spirit. Angels, demons, being transported, being up to the third heaven, seeing and exploring in the heavens what God wants to show and reveal. Angelic activity and movement. So that gives us a framework of understanding. Does that make sense? Alright, so these are all examples that kind of help us so that we're not naive about what's going on. So to pray effectively, we must pray with the right information. That's the reason for the intel. That is why we need the discerning of the Holy Spirit to give us right information. We don't want to pray and move out of wrong information. But the Holy Spirit will give us true information. Discernment allows you to pray with precision and with intelligence. And I'm a gun person, so I just thought about a rifle. You can take a shotgun and you can have a target and you just pop a shell in, blow it in a certain direction, and you're going to have pellets going everywhere. Hope you hit a target. You might not. So if we're not praying intelligently, we're shooting a shotgun prayer, if you will, and pellets are flying in prayer, and we're just hoping it hits the right target and that it's effective. With the intel of the Holy Spirit, with that gift of discernment, and through intercessory prayer that targets in on a specific need and situation, you're like a sniper with an MRAD sniper rifle that has the bullet and scoped in and given the intelligence to know exactly where your target's at, where your enemy's at, where you need to put your efforts at in praying and declaring God's word to be effective and to wipe out the enemy or to change a situation, to manipulating the environment. There's the difference between the shotguns and a sniper rifle. Praying, now I lay me down to sleep, yeah, I pray. Are we praying intelligently? Amen? There's a difference. So we need to grab hold of that. Using our senses. Discernment isn't processed with our mind, but we cannot rationalize it intellectually. You discern it through your emotions and your senses. Taste, sight, smell, hearing, feeling. You experience supernatural information before rational evidence is ever there. And it is for the mature. Hebrews 5 and 14 tells us, but strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age. Even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. So discernment, again, will give us intel, both good and bad, and give us that information. But we have to learn to pay attention and to be sensitive when the Holy Spirit is speaking to us and how He speaks to us. He may speak to Pastor in a totally different way than He speaks to me. And so because God is an individual God, it's an individual relationship. And so He knows what will get our attention and what will be attuned to. Oh, that's God. Yeah. Oh, I better pay attention. Mm-hmm. What's going on, Holy Spirit? So be sensitive to the Holy Spirit. And that gift varies from person to person, and it covers a wide spectrum. It takes time to learn to recognize the connections. We have to walk this experience out in God. Our Christian maturity, we walk it out in God. And it comes in trial and error. It comes in growing and exploring and being sensitive to the Holy Spirit and being willing for God to speak and to use through us. And in James 1 and 5 says, if any of you lack wisdom, what does he say? Let him ask of God. So if we need more wisdom, just ask God. He'll give you more wisdom. He's not stingy. He's not a stingy God. He will give us more wisdom. We just need to ask. And he goes on to say, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God. For many false prophets have gone out into the world. And you can read that chapter on through verse 21. I recommend you do that. Romans 12 and 2 says, do not be conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that by, there's that word testing again, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good, acceptable, and perfect. Hallelujah. Isn't God good? He's amazing. He is not boring at all. We just need to understand more how God works and how the spiritual realm works and how he wants us involved in the activity of his kingdom and how to be successful at that. So accept the gift. Don't be afraid of the gift, but accept the gifts of God. This gift of discernment is a supernatural gift. It flows like prophecy and like miracles. And what I mean by that, it flows in different levels, different intensities. And so it flows in different strengths between people. My father-in-law told me years ago how old, young he was. I have no idea. But he had the gift of discernment. Still had it when I knew and married in the family. But he told me his experience years prior of having the gift of discernment was so intense. He had such a high level, deep level of the gift of discernment till it was difficult for him to just walk in his everyday life in that gift. It was very unmanageable for him because in the environment, whether he was working at church, at grocery store, anywhere, that gift of discernment was so strong on him. He knew what people were thinking. He knew what they had done, and he knew what they were planning to do. That can be very disruptive in your daily life if it is not mastered under the Word of God and through the Holy Spirit. And then why that intel is being given to you is to pray and to pray intercession and to pray for those. And like I said a few weeks ago, there's so much to pray about, we could be on our face 24/7 and never get it all done, right? So it was so overpowering for him. He prayed and asked the Lord, you got to take this off. I can't take this much. And the Lord did. The Lord lifted that heavy amount of that gift of discernment. Sorry if my verbiage and language and describing it isn't better. But God lifted that gift of discernment from the intensity that it was. But he still had a level of discernment that he could still function in ministry, in his daily life, and forward going from there. And as he even grew and matured even more spiritually. So it is a gift, again, like prophecy, like miracles, that it is in levels and intensity. So it's something we can pray and ask God for more of and learn to walk and how to manage it. Because if we do not manage it, it will manage us. Got it? Okay. This gets into, I think it's cool. How many science people are in here? You love, you dig science. Oh, one, two. Oh, well, y'all like it. Rest of y'all, sorry. I don't know what to tell you. I think it's cool. Through this gift, we can hear in the spirit. What hearing is part of the senses, right? God created everything with his word. He spoke it into existence. Speaking is sound. vibration, sound waves, and he gave voice to it. And all creation is designed to praise him, correct? Everything has the capacity to sound off. An apple. Everything has the capacity to sound off under certain conditions. The gift of discerning of spirits will cause you to be able to sense the nature of the sound for the purpose of intercession. Wow. That's incredible. There is a voice or a sound in the land, in the air, in people, in groups, in animals, in objects. God created everything, so why would he not, when he spoke it into existence, have sound to it? And it has the ability to sound off. And that sound can become painful or aggravating when something has corrupted it. Man, oh man. If something has corrupted it and we hear a sound, if God allows us to hear a sound and we are to discern, and the Holy Spirit help us discern, is that a corrupt sound or is that a holy sound? Where is that sound coming from? What is it manifesting from? But there is a sound that will come forth. You could hear or feel the voice of the problem in your mind or even on your skin and in your emotions, just to name a few. I have had good cold chills and good goosebumps. You?
Yeah.
Ooh, when the glory of God gets in, angels are around, and the affirmation of God's glory, and you get those goosebumps and doodads going up and down the back, Brother Chris, and we feel good, feel mighty happy, don't we? And we can see the evidence of those goosebumps on our skin. We're feeling it, and it feels like electricity going through us. Amen? And I felt bad goosebumps, and I felt bad chills. Yeah. Chills to the bone. That was corrupt. That was from an evil source. That was demonic.
Yeah.
Felt it. Evidence. What is it? So there's good and bad. So that just kind of gives you some examples there. If you don't manage your discernment, it will manage you. This gift has levels, and if you don't manage it through the Holy Spirit, it can become very, very strong and difficult to functioning in your daily life. And we pray, we take those needs to God in prayer until we get a peace or we get a release that the prayer has done its job or it has been sent to accomplish what it was sent to do. And once we get that release or our peace returns to us, then we know we have been effective in doing what we needed to do. So that is how that kind of clues us in our intercessory prayer. Do I need to continue to keep praying until I get a release from God on this? I need to continue to pray until I feel peace in my spirit that God's heard and things are moving and things are changing and being evident there. And Isaiah 9:7 tells us that the gift allows us to watch and pray intelligently. James 5:16 says, confess your faults one to another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. We like that last half of that verse, and we can quote that one just pretty good. Man, a righteous, the prayer of our effectual prayer of a righteous man, boy, that avails much. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. But we don't want to listen to the first half of that verse. Confess your faults one to another, then pray for one another that you may be healed. We've got a lot of sick folk. I wonder if it's because we're not confessing faults and praying for one another. We never know. But don't ignore the first half of that verse and only accept the back half. To be effectual and a fervent intensity, to the intensity of that prayer of a righteous man availeth much. I can't be righteous if I'm not confessing my faults and sins. Right? So it's important that we take the whole Word of God and apply it all. So, and in your handout, I won't go into this part, it was some interesting facts for your science buffs. If you're not interested, throw it in the trash. But it's some web links that was pretty cool. As I said, everything has a voice to it. And we know by the word of God, if people fail to praise him, the rocks will cry out, Luke 19 and 40. But there is scientific proof, and they have recorded it by sound and by sound waves, that the crying of nature and the screaming of trees being cut and starving for water. Hello. Isn't that cool? Even plants will signal, trees will signal to one another if they're starving for water and if there is danger coming or one is getting hurt or being cut down. They have a way to signal information to other plant life or other trees that, hey, there's damage coming. Wow. I think it's cool. Okay. Another one tells you about trees. It's called Trees Talk, Cry, and They Sing. Okay. Into chapter 10, the last chapter of the book. About a house of prayer. And we've discussed already in the previous lessons, we've talked a lot about corporate prayer and the importance of that. We know that in the upper room that the church was birthed out of Acts 2 in the upper room, they devoted themselves to prayer. And we know that a praying church will overturn demonic plans and will put angels on assignment. So it must not... We must not pray out of our own emotions or self-will, but out of God's will. Remember, our prayer, we've got to pray with God's word. We've got to be in alignment with his heart. We've got to be in alignment with his voice. We've got to be in alignment with God's word. If we're not praying his will, his heart, his plan, and we're praying out of our frustration, our anger, our emotion, our plan, our agenda, our emotions, something's wrong. Amen? If we are not lined up with God's word, we will release or loose wrong things into the atmosphere. Our words are very important. Sister Brenda touched on this, I think, last week on Proverbs 18:21. Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it eat the fruit of it. You better love what comes out of your mouth because you're going to eat it. Amen? You're speaking death, curses, everything opposite of God's word, meanness, just flat being honoring. You're going to eat the fruit of that. You speak life, encouragement, the word of God, you're building, you're lifting up, you're edifying, you're glorifying, then you are going to eat the fruit of that. Amen? So when we speak alive, we are loosening good things in alignment with God's word into the atmosphere that is active. His word is alive, powerful. It is an active word. Amen? Are y'all bored? Do I need to make you stand up and do some calisthenics? But if we're speaking death, that'll never amount to nothing. I'll give you 30 days and I'll be right back in jail. I wouldn't give you 2 cents for that boy. Hello. That'll never get well. Ain't got a chance. That's death. We're releasing things. Be careful what doors you're opening. Not every door we open and everything we lose is a good thing. Not every door that we open and it can be a bad thing. You can open a bad door and you can lose bad spirits. Amen? You can open good doors and you can lose good spirits and angelic activity and the movement, the hand of God in the atmosphere. What kingdom are you moving? Hallelujah. Pay attention. Be mindful of your words. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. So the scripture is active. It activates the supernatural. We must realize that sound carries for eternity. You can't take it back. You can't stuff it back into toothpaste, they tell me. But the sound will reverberate through all eternity and it will never come back, boy. God's word won't come back to him, boy. but the sound will never stop. Wow. Why do our family or saints' prayers that have been prayed of those that have died and gone are still being answered? Yes, God still has them bottled up there in a bowl, and they're there, and He bottles every tear. But the sound of those prayers are still active. Amen? So the power that we release in the atmosphere, think about it. Are we releasing life, or are we releasing death? And if we say something bad and we release death and something negative, we better say, cancel it. Time out. No, I cancel that one in the name of Jesus. I rebuke that curse. I will line that up faster than a monkey in a tree with the Word of God. Amen? So recognize what we say. So be careful with what doors we open and close with the words of our mouth and out of our heart, because they are powerful. If we release anger against someone and they have lived a life altered because of the effect of the words that we have spoken about them or over them. Sometimes even in our own prayer life, we need to be praying and canceling prayers and every negative curse word others have spoken over me or against me. I come against that in the name of Jesus. I will not be affected by somebody else's negative word or curses they want to place on me. I will be good. And I'll send it back to the pits of hell where it came from, in Jesus' name. Take your flight. So we need to realize and be aware and be smart that there are evil things that are going on and taking place. I don't mean to leave you out back there. That are taking place that we can't be naive about. And that we cover our bases, cover ourselves, cover our family in prayer and by the Holy Spirit, by the blood of Jesus, and keep it covered. So we need to think about what we're going to pray about. Think about it first. Line it up with God's Word. Find scripture basis for it before we utter a word on it and pray. We don't want to allow our emotions to guide our prayers, but rather the voice of God. If our prayers do not come out of heaven, it is a spiritual violation that strikes a bargain with demonic kingdom, with the demonic kingdom. I'm going to say that one again. If our prayers do not come out of heaven, it is a spiritual violation that strikes a bargain with the demonic kingdom to try and manipulate someone's behavior. An example, the disciples of Jesus, they went to Samaria, and boy, they went, they got rejected, and boy, they're coming back telling Jesus, man, Jesus, they didn't like us there in Samaria. They kicked us out. They didn't want to hear none of this, and they weren't very friendly to us. You want us to call down fire on them? We'll get on that one real fast. We'll call down fire and burn that village up. Jesus rebuked them. Rebuke is he criticized them sharply. We think Jesus all the time, sweet little Jesus, he don't ever say nothing bad. I wish I had a table to knock over. He criticized them sharply. And he said in Luke 9:55-56, he said, you don't know what spirit a manner of spirit you are of. You don't even know what you just said. You don't know what spirit motivated you to even say that. And he goes on to tell them, for the Son of Man did not come to destroy man's lives, but to save them. Can I take a couple of minutes, Pastor, and share an experience? I was young, 21 years old, married, preacher, carpenter. You don't tell your new wife when you come home bad news. Husband did a job for this lady, got his drafts, you know, as the job come along, got paid. She was happy, she was fine, she was glad. The job was going great, going fine. Got a draw, got paid. Finished the job. When it come time to finish the job, she held the check and wouldn't pay me. She was happy up until it was finished and he had to dish out that last paycheck. He comes home and tells his little wife, I was little then, told his little wife, I didn't get paid. Well, that did not sit well with me. And any of you husbands know, you don't come home and tell your wife you didn't get paid. Word? Yeah. I didn't know any better. I was just mad. We were living that paycheck to paycheck, Brother Larry. I needed that money. I prayed. I did not give God the word. I did not pray, God, thy will be done. Just bless her little heart and just pour over and bless her good. I did not pray like that. I didn't say, God, you know our needs and you're the provider of our home and we just commit this to you, this situation, and you take care of us, take care of her, and bless us in Jesus' name. No, not hardly. I was angry. I prayed a wrong prayer. I ain't never forgot that prayer, Sister Diana. I pray, God, you make her sick as a dog. Don't you let her sleep all night long until she cuts that check. I did. Confession, false one to another. Okay, I'm obeying God's word. I confess it. I did. I said, God, I ain't having it. No. You make her sick up all night, puking her guts up. I don't care. I want that paycheck. Next morning, husband got a phone call. Ring. Hello. Come get your check. I was sick all night long and never slept. Come get your check. Thank you, Jesus. Wrong prayer. I wasn't concerned about her at all. I was only concerned about us. See, the wrong is wrong. So I struck a bargain with the wrong kingdom. Hello. So we got to be careful. Be careful that we don't pray out of our emotions. That's sometimes a challenge to rein our emotions in, girls. Isn't it? It's tough sometimes, but we've got to do that. But to pray God's will, how do we pray? How do we pray? We've got to pray His will. To be effective, we've got to pray His will. Matthew 6 and 10, praying God's will on earth as it is in heaven. We need to use wisdom and think about what we pray before we pray it. We make sure our prayers are in alignment with the written word and that we don't loose wrong things. Matthew 16 and 19. And remember that our prayers are more powerful than we realize. They're powerful. Prayer is powerful. So when we pray in agreement with assignments concerning the kingdom of God, the sound of agreement is irresistible to our Heavenly Father. Hallelujah. He loves to hear us pray in His alignment with His will, with His plan. And when He hears that prayer of sound of agreement, when we're in unity and one mind and one accord, it is a glorious sound to our Father, and He loves it, and He enjoys that, and it is absolutely irresistible to Him. And He loves to give good gifts, hallelujah, to His children. Talk about provision and blessing. We can live with just provisions, or we can have the icing on the cake too and live a blessed life of abundance and have blessings too. Well, we can pray and now lay me down to sleep and say, yeah, I prayed and I did what I was supposed to do. Okay, I'm good. Blessed little Christian of mine. Or we can pray the will of God. We can get in alignment with the will of God. We can stand in the gap and make a difference. We can change and we can shift things not only in the atmosphere, but in the environment that we live in that will affect other people. There is power to our prayer. And we receive blessings when we pray in agreement. When we pray in unity with God, He will release the anointing oil. That anointing of the Holy Spirit. He will release His anointing oil upon us as a blessing as He pours Himself out. And Acts 2, 1-4, we can also read about that God will even pronounce blessings over the place where we pray in agreement. Wow! We come together and we pray in unity here on Sunday nights and we pray in agreement over things, and if we pray, God not only releases His holy presence and His anointing upon us, hallelujah, but He anoints us and He brings blessing upon the place where we pray. Hallelujah. Give the Lord a hand clap of praise. Amen. God blesses His people. We miss out on so much if we're not careful. I want to be blessed. Like Brother Chris talked this morning, I want to be blessed. I want you to be blessed. I want your prayer life to be powerful. And I hope that you have grown in these 5 weeks and in learning more about intercessory prayer. Amen?